Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic and inspiring topic of discussion on this episode of the Early Echo. Subhanallah, we have a thought-provoking topic of discussion for today. Wherever you are, we are hoping that you and your family are safe and sound. And when you're making dua for yourself, when you're making dua for your family members, your society and your community, then don't forget to make dua for the ummah. Because the ummah in many places in the world is going through great trials and tribulations. Some are suffering financially, medically, spiritually, and others are suffering at the hands of oppressors. Make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that through the wasila, through the medium of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa'i kulli, speedy and complete recoveries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove their troubles and protect them against the oppressors. Inshallah azza wa jal. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions. We are also here to earn maximum thawab and reward from the merciful court of Allahu jalla jalaluhu. Let's make the good intentions. Oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am here to seek knowledge of deen, ilmuddin. I am here that what I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well, insha'Allahu azza wa jal. By conveying what you learn, that person will be acting upon the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of بَلِّهُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey from me, even if it is one verse, one statement of Sharia. So don't stop. Try to have a notebook, a diary, and jot down the important Madani pearls whenever you're watching Madani Channel, any silsila. Because ink is the best memory. And as Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said, capture knowledge by writing it down. You can refer to it at a later stage. Then you can transfer this knowledge to your family members, your children, your spouse, your parents, your siblings, and fellow Muslims as well. There are so many wonderful benefits, blessings, bounties for the fortunate Muslims who recite an abundance of durud-e-pak, salawat, salutations upon the last Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved master. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah Almighty inscribes between both his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and the fire of hell. And he will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Look at the reward. Look at the results. So, it starts with the mindset, a change in the mindset. How I make time for everything else. How I make time, okay, from this time to this time, I have to go to work. From this time to this time, I'm giving maybe to the family, to the children. I take out some time for vacation, for holidays, for my hobbies, for recreational activities. How about that we take out some time every day? It doesn't have to be hours and hours. The more, the merrier. Even if it's 26 minutes, 30 minutes, start small and use that time to recite the glorious Quran, to recite salawat and durud-e-pak, dhikrullah, istighfar, and seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources. these things will help us. Really, it will help us in this world, in the grave, and the hereafter as well. Today we are going to be talking about the dogs of hell. Who are the dogs of hell? What are the dogs of hell? We will elaborate, inshallah, azawajal, after we listen to a beautiful kalam. Listen with attention and to further develop that love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. We'll be right back, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa jaan e rahmat shamae bazme hidayat sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ka farmane alishan hai ki jo koi shakhs mujh par ek bar durood e paak padhe Allah azza wa jalla us par apni 10 rehmaten nazil farmata hai uske 10 gunahon ko mitata hai aur uske 10 darajat ko buland farmata hai. Aaj jo kalam aap sunne ja rahe hain isme aapko baar baar durood e paak padhne ka mauka milega. Aaiye naate rasool e maqbool bhi suniye aur durood e paak ke wird mein shamil ho jaiye.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sachi baat sikhate ye seedhi raah dikhate ye hain.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Jaldi jaane bujhate ye hain. Jaldi jaane bujhate ye hain. Roti aankhein hansate ye hain. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Qasre dana tak kiski rasai. Qasre dana tak kiski rasai. Jaate ye hain aate ye hain. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Faize jaleel khaleel se poocho. Faize jaleel khaleel se poocho. Aag mein baagh khilate ye hain. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Sari kasrat paate ye hain. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Rab hai mu'ti ye hai qasim. Rab hai mu'ti ye hai qasim. Rizq uska hai khilate ye hai. صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے آ آ کہہ کے بلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے پل پر ہم کو چلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ
عليه وسلم
صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم
کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ مجدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عزوجل سبحان اللہ what a beautiful recitation, a beautiful kalam as well. And we had the beautiful sight of Masjid al-Nabawi and the grand green emerald dome. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us time and again for Hajj and Umrah. Take us time and again to visit Medina Sharif and Aqsa Sharif as well. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will be discussing a little bit about the dogs of hell. Who are these unfortunate people? Let me mention a narration and you'll get an understanding of who is being referred to when we say dogs of hell. Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, a great scholar of Islam, said, talk about your brother when he is not present in a manner in which you want your brother to talk about you when you are not present. Talk about your brother in his absence, how you would like others to talk about you when you are absent. Sayyiduna Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi says, it's not appropriate to get upset with a person who backbites about you. You should like that person as you are being rewarded because of him, even though he didn't plan to reward you. And he further comments that whoever gets upset with a person whose good deeds are coming into his own account, that doesn't make sense. But it is permissible, however, to get angry due to a legitimate reason under the Islamic law. We get angry. Anger is a natural emotion, especially if people are taunting us, insulting us, if people are assassinating our character, are spreading false allegations against us. We get upset, we get angry. That's an emotional thing, it's an emotional state. If people are mocking us and are trying, whether it is via text messages or verbally, to abuse us and to hurl obscenities and vulgarism, if a person calls you that you are the cause of the trouble, you are the fitna causer, you are the mischief maker, the troublemaker, when in reality maybe it's not like that. But due to their own misunderstandings, due to their malice and hatred and anger and rage and enmity and their ulterior motives, they may address you like this. So the person who receives these negativities would get upset, would get angry. But how should I deal with that anger? Should I also behave in the same manner? Should I also hurl abuses against that person? As Muslims, we must fear Allah Azza wa Jal. If that person is backbiting about us, then their thawab, their rewards, you're getting free rewards. The rewards are coming to you. Allahu Akbar. Try to address the matter in an amicable manner. Have a civil conversation. or rather stay away. If the person is not willing to sit down with you and discuss in a civil manner, humanely, then best is to stay away. But try not to become engulfed yourself with hatred, with anger, with rage, with enmity and jealousy and backbite about that person. Because filth cannot be purified with filth. Filth can only be purified with that which is pure. Allahu Akbar. Sayyiduna Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi also says very beautifully that we learn from that statement that if we start arguing, then we could cause hatred and that could lead to more complications. But if we try our best in a civil manner, with politeness, in a good way, to rectify that person, then that person could possibly leave that major sin of backbiting. So this is our first step, to try and resolve these matters, not by seeing who can win the argument with better points or with bigger insults. The glorious Quran has mentioned in Surah Ha Mim As-Sajda, verse 34, translation from Kanzul Iman. O listener, repel evil with goodness. Thereupon, the one between whom and you there was enmity, at that time he will become like a close friend. You don't know. Because of your good behavior, because of you addressing the situation in a good way, with wisdom, with politeness. It happens many a times where enemies become friends because the veils from their eyes are removed and then they see reality, they get the correct understanding, and they could actually end up becoming your friend and a close companion. Allahu Akbar. Nevertheless, we should not entertain backbiting. Ghiba is such a filthy, dirty sin that many innocent people's personalities, reputations have been destroyed because of the backbiting of others. Sayyiduna Bakr Mudhanni rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, when you see a person promoting others' shortcomings, meaning that he always reveals others' secrets and backbites about people, then you must know that person is surely the enemy of Allah and is seized by Allah's hidden plan. Am I guilty of that? Let's not focus on other people who are backbiting. That's one thing. Don't focus on that. Don't entertain it. Don't be part of the problem. The backbiter continues to backbite if he has an audience. If he has people to listen to his backbiting, he will continue. That's his habit, that's his evil habit, that's part of his life. Many have changed. Many have made tawbah, have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our minimum responsibility is that we don't backbite ourselves and we don't entertain backbiting. Stop the person there and then, whoever it may be, to protect yourself, to save yourself. Otherwise, maybe we could also land up in sin, in entertaining backbiting. Don't become an audience to backbiters. Stop them there and then and change the topic. Otherwise, excuse yourself and go away. Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he says, I am surprised that people who backbite about their Islamic brothers behind their backs and dishonor them, but when they come in front of them, they display utmost admiration and start praising them. In front of you, the person may praise you. The person may not see anything negative, anything bad. But when you are gone, when you have left, then they start insulting. This person's like this. This person doesn't need salah. This person is not there for Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. This person is X, Y, and Z. Allahu Akbar. And the others feel it's a juicy gossip. This concept of gossiping, backbiting, it's a form of entertainment for people who are bored. They will not sit down privately to discuss the matter at hand, where you address the problem and you don't attack the person. You address the problem, focus on the problem to resolve it. The great, our master, the great Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the leader of millions of Shawafi around the world, the crown of our heads, Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has said, if you correct your brother in private, you have done him a great favor. But if you correct your brother in public, you have disgraced him. Yes, if there are certain necessary shari'i matters where the person is misquoting a verse of the Quran or a blessed hadith and giving their own opinions, which is not mentioned by the mufassirun or muhaddithun and hadith masters and Quran experts, and is giving something which is contrary to sharia, that's a different matter altogether. But if the person has personal flaws, shortcomings, weaknesses, then you don't hang dirty clothes in public. You don't display it in public. You do the right thing which our deen teaches us. You take the person one side. Whether the person wants to accept it or not, if they accept it, it's in their own benefit. And if they do not want to accept it because of their ego, because of their pride and arrogance, your duty has been done to inform them. You didn't inform others by backbiting about this person. You went to them directly. You privately discussed the matter. And still, if they are putting up, if they become defensive. But another point is necessary, that when it's done in private too, then it must be done in a polite manner, with wisdom. Not screaming, shouting, you know, vulgar words and demeaning the person, insulting the person, making the person feel inferior. Not in that way. Look at the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he would rectify and reform the people. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam would occasionally say, what is wrong with people that they do this or they do that? Subhanallah. Let us learn from that. The prince of the Ahlul Bayt, Sayyiduna Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. Do you know he had detached himself away from the people and worldly matters? Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi approached him and said, because of your detachment, people are missing your grace and your blessings. What did he reply? He replied with two couplets. And he said, people's loyalties have passed. People's loyalties have passed like the day, yesterday. And people have fallen into their own thoughts. Allahu Akbar. On the surface, people show their love for others and their affection, but in reality, the hearts are filled with hatred and aversion. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, have you seen how this great personality, the crown of our head, Sayyidina Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, had detached himself from worldly affairs because of people's hypocritical ways? Such problems had started to creep in during those pure times. And from that time, and today, what is the condition? What is our condition, our circumstances, our environments? Allahu Akbar. If these things started way back then, over a millennium ago, we have an understanding where we are today. That many people are in an awful state. When they meet others, they display this mutual respect for each other. They ask about each other's well-being. They are hospitable. They are friendly. They have a smile on their face. They serve each other. Allah. But is that the same reality when the person is not there in front of you. But doing that apparently and outwardly, when the person is there, but when they're not there, the person is busy backbiting against the other one. Or as soon as they part ways, they start with the evils. They laugh at the person's shortcomings. They belittle the person. They can't do it in front of them. They don't have the courage and bravery to address any concerns that they have with the person face to face. They feel good about themselves that at least, you know what, I can't tell him directly on his face. I can't address the issue with him face to face. So when he leaves the person and he's with his friends, his pals, oh, this person, yeah, you know, he does like this and he does like that. This person, he likes to dress up to show the people. Look how he walks. Look how he talks. Look how he behaves. And they all start laughing, making it a joke. He's a shameful person. He's a fitna causer. He is a troublemaker. He's a this, he's a that. He's an arrogant fellow. He can't speak properly. He's so silly. He's strange. He's crazy. He's weak. He doesn't perform his salah. He misses his salah. He doesn't come to the masjid. He's a wicked person. He's like this and he's like that. All the thawab is going to that individual. Without this backbiter even realizing it. Even realizing it. Subhanallah. There's a narration that says there was a scholar. And the scholar was an imam of the masjid as well. And there was a musalli, one in particular, that used to always backbite about this imam sahab, about this alim. So somebody informed the imam sahab that, Huzur, that person there, he's always backbiting about you. Why don't you meet with him and resolve whatever matter is there? So he says, I'm unaware of any problems. I mean, if he has a problem, at least he must come to me. We can discuss it. And so one day, the backbiter's honorable wife, she tells him, before that, this Imam Sahib used to give money to the backbiter. He started to give money. Every month was giving him a gift of certain amount of money. So the honorable wife of the backbiter told him, are you not ashamed? Have you no shame? The same Imam Sahib, Mulana Sahib, Alim Sahib, that he's giving you money as a gift. You always backbiting about him. Where is your sense? And so the person starts to think, you're right. No, I mean, let me stop this. He stopped backbiting. This information reached the Imam Sahib as well. So that month, there was no money, no gift that came from the Imam Sahib to that person. So the person thought, you know, maybe Imam Sahib forgot. Maulana Sahib forgot. Second month, no money, no gift. The person goes to Imam Sahib, Maulana Sahib, goes to the Alim Adin and says, Ya Maulana, you had been giving me some money as a gift. And I see last 2 months you stopped. Why? What is a problem? The Imam Sahib said, my dear Musalli, I knew that you were backbiting about me. I was informed of it. And all the time you were backbiting about me, your thawab was coming to me. Your rewards were coming to me. As a thank you for that, I was sending money to you as a gift. And then when I was told you are not backbiting about me anymore, so that thawab is not coming to me anymore. And therefore I stopped giving you the gift of the money. It's something for us to think about. Something for us to think about. Not all the Imam Sahibs today are going to have enough money to give the backbiters gifts and money and what have you. Yes, we cannot judge. We don't know. If the person is backbiting about us, it means a person is doing so behind our backs. A third person could come and tell us whether the person is truthful or not. One will have to investigate. I can't just take it at face value because there's always two sides of the coin, two sides of the story. So I cannot just judge a person and lay false allegations or my own personal assumptions that could be completely wrong. I need to protect my iman. I need to protect my a'mal, my good deeds. I need to protect my tongue before I say anything, before I do anything. Protect my eyes, my organs. If a person does come to know that so-and-so is backbiting about them, if he confirms it, make dua for that person. Make dua for Allah to give them guidance, especially to stop that sin. And if it's possible, privately approach the person and ask them directly, you know, it just came to my attention that you are saying this and you're saying that about me. Is it true? So you're addressing the issue at hand. You're not giving personal attacks to the person. You're addressing the problem. And who knows, maybe the person will open up or had a lot of misconceptions about you. Subhanallah. Nevertheless, backbiting is a major, major, major sin. It is like eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother. We wouldn't like it. Allahu Akbar. It shows the character of the person who's doing the backbiting, that they have no good morals. The beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has stated, whoever makes his brother feel ashamed for a sin, which he had already repented from, that person will be involved in that sin before he dies. I want you to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, have I ever done something like this? And tawbah, repentance, that person knows whether they repented or not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. If that person had repented of those shortcomings and weaknesses and evils and sins that they had done, but still I go and I embarrass that person, I disgrace that person, I humiliate that person by backbiting about them, keep this blessed hadith in mind. That person who does so, that person will be involved in that sin before he dies. Is that what I want? Protect yourself. Protect your family from the fire of hell. Jahannam has already been created. It already exists. Jannah, paradise already exists. Keep this in mind. Have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing. Let us not be included amongst the dogs of hell and backbite about our fellow brethren, whether it's our siblings, whether it's our fellow Muslims, those we know, those we don't know. Let us address the issues instead of going ahead and talking evil about others, talking bad about others. What we need to do is we need to sit in front of the mirror, stand in front of the mirror and judge that person. That's the person that we need to judge. The one standing in front of the mirror, meaning ourselves. We ourselves have so many problems, so many, not just problems, but so many shortcomings, so many weaknesses, so many sins, piles and piles of sins, whether minor sins, whether major sins. So much we have. What are we doing about it to remove those sins? To make tawbah and to remove and make tawbah. How are we developing ourselves? Our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl al-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas al-Tawr Qadiri, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, a great scholar of the time, a Kamil Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great founder of Dawud Islam, has given us something to help us reform ourselves, something to help us to develop ourselves, something to keep an eye on whether I am indulging in the sins of backbiting, of jealousy, of pride, arrogance, ostentation, showing off, etc. And that is called nek a'mal. This is a whole department of Dawat Islam. Nek a'mal meaning pious deeds. This is a program. It's an app as well, which you can download from App Store and Play Store or from dawatislami.net. And it is to monitor your own progress. And every day you fill it out. Every day you ask yourself a set of questions. You don't need to show this to anybody else. That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask yourself those questions. And amongst those questions, a question is related to jealousy and pride and arrogance and backbiting. Whether I had committed this today. And so I should make tawbah daily. I should make tawbah. I should approach the person that I was backbiting about and ask his forgiveness as well. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Ask that person for forgiveness. I should rectify myself. I should become a better person. A better Muslim is a better person. A practical Muslim is a positive member of society. So all these internal spiritual diseases, I need to work on. I need to work on. I can't just focus on the apparent diseases. Maybe I have a flu or fever or some chronic problem. So I'm going for treatment. I'm taking my meds, my treatments. What about the chronic spiritual diseases? What about that? Many of us don't even know that we're suffering from spiritual maladies, spiritual ailments. Like jealousy, like enmity, like pride, like arrogance, like showing off, riya, shumatat. Allahu Akbar. Shumatat is where, because I don't like that Muslim brother, it could be your own brother, because I don't like him for whatever reason, when he is in difficulty, when he is in problems, I become happy. When that Muslim is in problem and trouble, when that Muslim can't look after his family, when that Muslim becomes sick, I get happy, deserves him, serves him right. That's a spiritual disease of shumatat. How many of us are suffering from these chronic ailments, these spiritual chronic ailments? When are we going to address it? When are we going to take the treat? The treatments are available. The treatments are there. And Dawud Islami is teaching us the treatments for these pandemics, these epidemics, so that we try to remove them one by one from our lives. InshaAllah. We have a short clip. We'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Noble Messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated that no Muslim visits a sick fellow Muslim in the morning except that 70,000 angels send dua of forgiveness for this person up until the evening. And if he was to visit him in the evening, then 70,000 angels pray upon him up until the morning. 70,000 angels doing dua for that person. All he did was what? Visit another Muslim? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, that's what is important. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that person be ill, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It said that when a person visits he who is ill, or whosoever visits a sick person, a caller, an angel shall call out, Tibta wa taba mamshak. May you be purified. May your steps be blessed. And may you receive a home in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Adivya Zamadar Inshallah. Visiting the sick, this builds love amongst people. Truly it does. It builds communities. It builds respect and reverence, mutual honor. It softens a person's heart. Of course, the bonds within a community are strengthened. And ultimately, it brings about immense reward. If someone is unwell, go and visit them. Call them at least, message them. Ultimately, do dua for them too. Especially behind their backs, do dua for them. If you do so, inshallah, the angels, 70,000, inshallah, will pray for you. 70,000, all you have to do is go and visit another Muslim. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst those who regularly do this. Allahumma ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi. Wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah azawajal. Some wise words there. We should ponder over these things. Do you know? Backbiting. It gives off a specific foul odor, a stench, a stink. In ancient times, people would actually find out if someone was backbiting through that foul and bad smell. Nowadays, backbiting, riba, is so prevalent, so widespread, that even people, they perform their salah, and as soon as they step out of the masjid, maybe sometimes inside the masjid, in the corners, they would engage in it. Outside the masjid, they'll sit together and start the gossiping and backbiting. You go to some Islamic functions, on the table, people are busy backbiting. In our homes, our societies, the sickness of backbiting has spread far and wide. And we are surrounded by so many foul odors of backbiting, we can't even sense it. We've got so used to that odor, we can't sense it. Our sense of smell has become used to this odor. Allahu Akbar. It is highlighted in a blessed hadith that the most dignified Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, identifying an odor, has said, "This is the foul odor from the mouths of those who backbite against Muslims." Those who backbite against Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Am I guilty of that? Am I involved in that as well? Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that once we were in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a foul odor was suddenly smelt by us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, "Do you know what this odor is?" "This is the stench, the stink of those who backbite about other Muslims." Before I start judging others, I need to come back and judge myself. Am I involved at all in any type of backbiting? A humble request is made. Try to download the book about backbiting by Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Ali. It is an encyclopedia on the effects on the different types of backbiting. When you start reading this, you'll want to hold your tongue and not say anything, because we are involved in so much of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against backbiting and protect us from backbiting about others. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.